Hi, this is Michael Dominic, loyal listener and Patreon supporter, and you're listening to Y'all Heard, your source for obscure information to tell people at parties.
Y'all Heard?
Hey, everybody. This is Y'all Heard.
A podcast where me, Marissa Phillips.
And me, Pete Phillips.
And we're not related.
And this is a show for curious people who want to hear about a variety of topics out there in the world, from
food
to fetishes,
celebrities
to unsung heroes, from things you think you know to
things you didn't know you needed to know. I didn't snort it, but I brushed dust off a countertop before we did this, and it like went up my nose and I'm dying. So how are you?
I guess we're all dying in a way, but I am not dying more than normal.
Okay.
Setting those sights real high. Marissa, have you noticed how our show is so trendy?
No.
Like, you did a piece about water bottles. That's right. I called it a piece.
Yeah. Ooh. I think
you did one about reusable water bottles. And then all those Stanley cups.
You're right.
Like people were going nuts over them.
Yeah.
I did an episode on underground bunkers. And now it seems like the billionaires of the world are all building underground bunkers.
Why? Because nuclear threat?
Yeah, because the world's going to end and they want to save their own ass.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know that. Actually, I don't even know if I read the news. Do I read the news anymore? I'm going to admit something. I buy the New York Times maybe once a week, paper form, and I follow the New York Times on Instagram, and I only know it's a story if I see it on my feed, and I'm like, I'll read more on that. Not because I am an asshole that doesn't care about the world, but because I don't want to watch TV news, and
I go to news.google.com. I go there once in a while.
Yeah, okay.
I saw that, Marissa, I have to say I don't know how to say her last name properly, even though I don't think it's that hard, but Lupita?
Yeah, Lupita Nyong'o.
Is dating Joshua Jackson?
Oh, yeah. I saw that. That
what?
Was like, whoa.
And then I was like, that can't be right. I have to look at the age difference. And it's only 4 years. And I'm like, wait.
What? Isn't he really old?
It's like, I don't know if – something just like blew up in my head. She's like 2 weeks older than me, which of course makes me feel terrible. But – and he's 45.
Oh, so she's older than I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I guess I thought he was slightly older, but he had this beautiful wife. He really bounced back fast. They broke up pretty recently, I thought. I need to do a Gossip Girl, actually. There's crazy shit happening.
Crazy shit.
Yeah, so that's the news you're tapped into.
That showed up yesterday, yeah. That was the most mind-blowing news I read, because, you know, everything else is horrible. But I have been passing the time recently watching Athletes Unlimited professional women's basketball.
Okay.
And this is 44 athletes are broken up into four teams. And I'm going to try to explain it to you. And I don't want you to lose interest, but.
Okay.
So there's four teams with 11 players apiece. And then there's a leaderboard that has 44 people on it.
Uh-huh.
And you score points by doing certain things in the basketball game. So, like, if you get a block, you get, like, 2 points. If you score a basket, you get, like, 2 points, something like that. But if your team wins a quarter, then you get 60 points. If your team wins the game, you get 180 points. And so it's this constantly shifting thing of who is, like, the top person in the league.
I'm sorry, is this a thing that existed before this year?
This is its third year.
Okay. Never heard of this in my life.
And what's interesting about it is that You are motivated to do good for yourself, but you also need to support your team because that's where you get the most amount of points when your team wins stuff.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's cool.
On top of that, every week, I think it's 5 weeks maybe, every week the top four people become new team captains and they get to pick a whole entire brand new team.
What? I don't know. No.
It's a lot of shit going on.
I don't like this. This
and I just look for the people that I know and I'm like, oh.
No, this would be so stressful for me to be involved in.
What's stressful is they actually bring the leaderboard up on the screen while you're watching the game and you can see people dynamically shifting.
I don't like this. Guys, there's such a thing as too much information.
But it's an interesting thing. If you took my advice and you spent the, what, $25 for the WNBA app access, you can watch it on there. It's pretty fun.
Okay. So wait, I'm sorry. This isn't WNBA? Or it is?
It has WNBA players, but since the WNBA isn't in session right now, these players are like, well, I didn't want to travel overseas, and I can participate in this so that I can get ready for when I go back to the WNBA.
Speaking of WNBA without the W, this is not Gossip Girl, but everybody, Emo Jimmy Butler stars in a Fall Out Boy video, and I want you all to know that. And I don't like Fall Out Boy, but the video is fun.
She loves Emo Jimmy Butler.
I did. Did I tell you that Aaron didn't know he existed? Like, he knew Jimmy Butler existed. That's the other thing.
Listeners, you need to go to NBA.com, search for Jimmy Butler, and look for his official profile in order to see why Marissa loves him so much.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I don't remember when Jimmy Butler came up, and it was someone. I was like, I love Jimmy Butler. And I was like, why? You don't really watch NBA. And I was like, because Emo Jimmy Butler? And he was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, what? I get to tell a new person this exists? And it was beautiful. If you don't know who Emo Jimmy Butler is, don't even look it up. Ask me and let me show you.
That's true. Anything else going on?
I'm drinking a K-Wave, a Coca-Cola K-Wave.
I still haven't had any.
It's fine.
Oh, okay.
Well, I forgot. Was I supposed to wait for you?
I wasn't sure, so I didn't drink any. And it wasn't like speaking to me like the spiced one was.
Well, we should make content of us trying the K-Wave and the spiced when I visit you. But Yeah, but I got impatient and I ran out of soda, so I started drinking it. I won't talk about what it tastes like, though.
Coke spiced, guys, goes well with peanut butter whiskey. But then again, in my mind, everything does.
Ooh, it was like a peanut butter jelly cocktail.
Yep.
That sounds disgusting. I had other stuff to say and I don't remember. I feel like I'm just telling you random bits of information. So let's move on. If you had a week of no work, and let's say you and I, our minds were purged from our various mental struggles, and you would feel no guilt about anything you did in that week. In that week, nothing mattered. You didn't feel like you needed to be productive. It was a week of freedom. Freedom from work, freedom from the world, freedom from our mental chains. What would you do in that week?
This is a depressing question.
Why?
Because I have no idea.
Oh.
Wait,
is my question depressing or is your answer depressing?
I guess my answer is depressing. I'm gonna do a Marissa and say you go first.
Okay. I think I just want to eat pizza and play video games and not feel guilty at all.
That was close, because I was going to say I would eat a bunch of shit.
Yeah, I just want to eat pizza and play video games. And no shade to my husband, but, like, I'm in another video game. Like, I'm feeling it. I'm playing Luigi's Mansion 3. And, you know, I work, and but like, I'm done work. I'm like, oh, I just want to play video games. But my husband comes back from work after, like, a 9-hour shift. And then he sits behind me because his workstation is behind where I watch TV and play video games, and he has to do notes for the next day, and he needs to, like, assess his cases that he just had. And
so
I'm like,
you're kind of an asshole.
Yeah, so I'm like, nuts. I can only play video games so long before I feel guilty. Like, I need to, like, do something productive. I'm like my Luigi's Mansion. I'm, like, screaming at the video game, and he's just, like, I don't know, fucking looking at heart shit. And I'm like, I live a tough life compared to him. So, yeah, I just want a week where, like, I don't feel burdened by my husband's hard life. And I just play video games and eat pizza.
Yeah. I think, like, eating whatever I want would definitely be on the board.
But there's got to be more. There's nothing.
Am I going to gain weight from it?
No. No calories. Nothing matters in this week.
Okay. And
but
then...
don't, like, go crazy.
I'm going to... I think for, like, a couple days, I would like to do some, like, outdoor-type labor.
Oh, that's nice.
And then... But, like, I would also try to take the time to get into more of a habit of, like, going on walks. Because I used to do that a lot, and I don't do it at all anymore. I don't walk anymore. Even to the bathroom, I, like, use my arms.
I just piss where I am.
You know, I didn't even think of that. This is a much better idea.
You just have a bedpan. No, I get that. Yeah, I guess in my mind, I was only thinking of the circumstances I have. There's no one really to walk here. But, like, it would be nice if I was playing video games somewhere that was beautiful outside. So I play video games half the day and then go be one with nature the other half. That's a good idea. Man, I'm really struggling from the dust I snorted. It's like it's going to ruin the rest of my day. Anyway.
I wonder that sometimes. If any of our people out there know anything about respiration, is that the word? Like, one time I was making Marissa knows about this, a cardboard fireplace.
Uh-huh.
Didn't even occur to me that it would be a problem for me to spray paint something indoors with no mask on or anything.
Yeah.
Until I sneezed afterwards and gray, which was the color I was painting, came out of my nose.
That's so gross.
Like, is there anything that you can do to, like, make your lungs better because you know you did something, like snort dust?
Yeah, like, I think I'm going to be fucked up for the rest of the day. I don't know what to do. Yeah, call us at 570-511 if you're a respiration expert.
3 days from now.
Speaking of experts, so experts don't all agree, but I'm going to talk about a theory that I think makes a lot of sense. That was a horrible segue. I don't care. I'm tired and there's dust up my nose. Guys, I don't know. I think we might have mentioned
it. Speaking of things that are going to ruin Marissa's day, this is actually a topic that did ruin our week once. Because we did the whole episode and it didn't record right.
And the unfortunate thing is, when I decided to do this episode originally, I was, like, really passionate about it. I had just read a lot on it. Like, I was really ready to deep dive. And I still find this topic to be very interesting. But I pulled up my notes from the last time. And, like, you know, like, just sometimes you're in the zone and sometimes you, like, look at something later and you, like, don't understand where your mind was at. So I'm going to present on this topic with notes I took years ago. Or a year ago. I don't know. And I just feel like it doesn't have the same level of oomph.
This is past Marissa speaking to future Marissa.
Yeah. So, exactly. So, past Marissa was really like, I might have heard this theory from last podcast on the left, which is not an expert. And then I decided to do a deep dive and found some interesting information from a journalist. So, what am I talking about? I'm talking about lead. So I read and research a lot about serial killers. I'm one of those true crime people, whatever. And after hearing about enough cases, you start to hear that there are some commonalities. Like, two things that really stuck out to me as, like, being a common thread that connects many serial killers is that a lot of them were said to suffer severe head trauma early in life. And a lot of them were said to have experienced family abuse at the hands of their family. However, when Past Marissa did this episode, I had just recently heard of a new supposed theory that links many serial killers that I'd never heard before, and it kind of blew my mind. And that is lead poisoning. So,
Remember in school, lead poisoning was like, you know what? Maybe it was just my school, but lead poisoning was like, oh my God.
I mean,
you poked me with a pencil. I could get lead poisoning and die.
Are pencils still made with lead though? Aren't they made with graphite?
Yes.
I don't know.
Marissa, did you know there's a number one pencil?
No, what does that mean?
And a number three pencil?
What does it mean though?
A number one pencil is more blank. I don't remember which like element or whatever. And it's softer.
Ooh.
It's softer, so like you could probably snap it in half pretty easily.
Why would anyone want softer pencils?
I think for art.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
And then number three is more in the other direction, and it's harder, and it is more or less graphite. I don't remember which one.
This is not directly related to a pencil, but for some reason I thought of it when I was in high school. Oh, no. Middle school? Yeah, when I was in middle school, two kids got in a fight in the cafeteria, and one of them stabbed the other one in their back with a pen. And it was gross. And I saw the stabbing happen. Okay, moving on. Starting in the 1960s, America saw a huge increase in levels of violent crime that peaked in the early 1990s, then started to steadily decline. And despite how fucked up everything seems today, like violent crime has declined a lot in comparison. And all kinds of theories have been posed to explain like why this peak and decline in crime happened. And like plenty of politicians in the 90s took credit for it. Most notably, Rudy Giuliani was said to have, you know, made a big impact on crime. However, journalist Kevin Drum of Mother Jones summarized all of the available research, and apparently it all seemed to point to one simple idea, and that is that violent crime rose as a result of lead poisoning caused by the use of leaded gasoline. Then, violent crime began decreasing over time once people made the switch to unleaded. Whether or not you're going to buy what I'm about to tell you about the link to violent crime, there's no disputing that everyone using leaded gasoline fucked up a lot of things. Like, no one says that's a good thing. But whether or not you buy into the crime correlation, let's talk a little further. So there are three basic reasons why some buy into this theory. First, as Drum points out, the numbers correlate almost perfectly. Quote, if you add a lag time of 23 years, he writes, lead emissions from automobiles explain 90% of the variation in violent crime in America. Toddlers who ingested high levels of lead in the 40s and 50s really were more likely to become violent criminals in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So basically, atmospheric lead from gasoline tailpipes rose steadily after World War II, affecting babies born in the 40s and beyond. The leading edge of this generation became teenagers in the late 60s and were more prone than previous generations to commit violent crimes. Every year, the population of teenagers with lead poisoning increased and violent crime increased with it. And that is why in the 70s and 80s, crime pretty much skyrocketed. And in the early 70s, the United States began to phase out leaded gasoline, and newborns became steadily less lead poisoned. Like clockwork, as the leading edge of this generation became teenagers in the early 90s, the crime wave started to recede. By 2010, an entire generation of teenagers and young adults, the age group responsible for most crime, had grown up nearly lead free, and the violent crime rate had plummeted to half or less of its high point. This happened across the board in both big cities and small cities, among black people, white people, every race, and in every state and in every city.
One of the symptoms of lead poisoning is constipation.
Oh, fuck. Maybe, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I've probably eaten lead paint chips if someone dared me in my past. Maybe I have lead poisoning because I am constipated as fuck. So anyway, every country studied has shown the same strong correlation between leaded gasoline and violent crimes. Within the United States, you can see the data at the state level, where lead concentrations declined quickly, crime declined quickly, and where it declined slowly, crime declined slowly. The data even holds true at the neighborhood level. I said level with a B. At the neighborhood level, high lead concentrations correlate so well that you can overlay maps of crime rates over maps of lead concentrations and get an almost perfect fit. And perhaps most importantly, the chemistry and neuroscience of lead gives us good reason to believe the connection. Decades of research have shown that lead poisoning causes significant and probably irreversible damage to the brain. Not only does lead degrade cognitive abilities and lower intelligence, it also degrades a person's ability to make decisions by damaging areas of the brain responsible for emotional regulation, impulse control, attention, verbal reasoning, and mental flexibility. Quote, even moderately high levels of lead exposure are associated with aggressivity.
It's not that's interesting. Yeah.
Aggressivity. I would like to say aggressiveness. That feels better in my mouth.
What about aggression?
Aggression. There we go. Yeah, I don't know if aggressiveness is even a word, but aggression, impulsivity, ADHD, and lower IQ. Okay. How do you feel so far? Does it sound like he's
I mean,
pushing?
It's a nice. You got to have something to explain it.
Yeah.
I think this is the core of conspiracy theories, right? We need to find something to explain something that's unexplainable.
Yeah, and even if it is a conspiracy, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I'll buy into it. So all these things that I said, I already said, these pieces of information came from an article that Drums wrote in 2012, which, by the way, Drums is like, so into this. He writes article after article. And then when he finds someone trying to disprove it, he pokes holes in the study itself. But I don't think he's a scientist, so I don't know if I support that approach. But that aside, so since Drum wrote his article, his first article on the topic in 2012, researchers have conducted nearly a dozen new studies designed to test the lead crime hypothesis. Almost all of them support it. There's a couple outliers, but like I said, Drums claims that these outliers have had some serious methodological issues. I don't know if Drums is the person to state that, but whatever. Sadly, I tried to, I wrote down this research. What do you think this was, a year ago?
I feel like it might have been longer.
Yeah, maybe years ago. So I was like, oh, let me update it. Let me see what's been happening in 23, 24. I don't know. I guess nobody cares past like 2019. But anyway, so here are some studies that have happened since 2012.
Is this possible?
What?
The cover I designed for it is from July of 2020.
Oh, God, that's fucking, whoa, time doesn't exist anymore, apparently.
I guess there are other things on people's minds. So maybe it is okay that it fell out of favor.
Okay.
The new conspiracy is that COVID-19 has created a generation of murder.
Yeah, shit. Didn't feel like it was 4 years ago. Anyway, so let's talk about some of the, other studies that have been done. So in 2013, brain scans, showed that prisoners with lower activity in the anterior cingulate cortex, ACC for short, are twice as likely to return to crime once they're released from prison. This is consistent with the lead crime hypothesis. The effect of childhood lead poisoning is permanent loss of tissue in the ACC. So this is what controls emotional regulation, impulse control, attention, verbal reasoning, and mental flexibility, kind of what I already mentioned. So in 2014, a study from someone named Jessica Wolpo-Reyes used data from the National Longitudinal Study of Youth. In the study, she found that early childhood lead exposure leads to, quote, an unfolding series of adverse behavioral outcomes, behavior problems as a child, pregnancy and aggression as a teen, and criminal behavior as a young adult. Pregnancy, it's very specific, but I guess if you don't have impulse control, I don't know, whatever. And in 2016, Feigenbaum and Mueller, their study used a different approach to lead and crime. These authors compared cities in the early 20th century that installed lead water pipes versus iron water pipes. So this has nothing to do with gasoline. Now this, whether or not the pipes used lead or iron was a fairly random choice, usually based on whether a lead pipe factory was nearby and could offer a better price than iron pipes. And 2 decades later, the lead pipe cities had murder rates 14 to 36% higher than the iron pipe cities. And lastly,
Detroit, you think, was like lead?
I mean, maybe.
Philly, probably too.
Yep, probably. And in 2017, authors Iser and Curry took advantage of an extremely detailed data set of children in Rhode Island that allowed them to track the effect of lead on individuals rather than just averages on an entire population. For each child, they measured school suspensions and juvenile detentions, along with two measures of lead poisoning. One, childhood blood lead levels, and two, distance from major roadways, which are associated with a large concentration of lead fumes. In both cases, they found a substantial association of lead poisoning with future juvenile delinquency.
So we're doing like a bit of a bunny hop here, right? We're saying like people who were exposed to lead poisoning have a certain behavior. And that certain behavior is also behavior that would be from people who have like a certain part of their brain damaged. And so lead would mess with your brain?
Yes, right?
Okay.
Yeah, that people with a lot of lead exposure probably have brain damage, and that brain damage leads to lack of impulse control, lower IQ, and you probably doing violent crimes. Yeah?
Sounds like they scanned people in prison's brains, but were they people who were exposed to lead? It looked like they were looking for a correlation between this part of the brain and this behavior, not necessarily this part of the brain and lead. Or this behavior in lead.
Wait, let me take a note. There are some studies where they scan the brains, but I think a lot of this relies on the fact that they're looking at when the person, some of those studies, they scanned things and whatnot. But I think the larger hypothesis doesn't really deal with like prisoner brain scans.
Based on their age.
Their age and whether or not leaded gasoline was used. Does that make sense? Again, I am not saying that this is a foolproof hypothesis. I just think this is very interesting. All right. So, again, Drums, the journalist who focuses on this. He's not a scientist, but he just has, he just compiles the information. So we're going to end this with just some final considerations, some things he brings up to ponder. So first off, lead and murder. We have fairly good data on homicide rates going back for a century. And it turns out the United States has had two epidemics of murder. The first in the 20s and 30s, and the second in the 70s and 80s. When you account for both lead paint and leaded gasoline, it turns out, in his mind, the lead can explain them both. So basically, this is the grander hypothesis than what you just asked. So it's not like we're going around scanning everyone's brains. It's basically when you look at the ages, it would explain that's when they use lead paint and that's when they use leaded gasoline. So, it's a bit of a stretch. But
so we're saying the lead paint is the 30s?
Yeah, I guess so. But you think lead paint is not tied to the 30s?
I thought it went on for a while after the 30s.
Oh, well, it says the second epidemic is the 70s and 80s. So, I mean, I guess that could I mean, when was lead paint phased out? I don't know. 1978. Okay.
So you know I would what? Say, sir, explain to me the low murder rate in the 50s if lead paint was still being used.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And they had those big-ass cars.
You know what? I'm just reporting. Okay. Okay, next up, ethanol in Sao Paulo. In 1975, after the first Arab oil embargo, Brazil started a campaign to replace gasoline with ethanol. Most of the ethanol went to Sao Paulo, and by the mid-80s, half the cars in the province had stopped using gasoline. Sure enough, 18 years later, the murder rate started dropping dramatically. Today, it's at one-third the level of 2002 when the decline began. So again, that's just stating a place, a different area where it seems to correlate. Now, violent crime in Britain. The violent crime rate in Britain peaked in 2007 and then dropped sharply. This is consistent with Britain's experience. They banned leaded gasoline in 1988 and then made the switch to unleaded very quickly.
I'm sorry. Can you... What?
What?
Switch to unleaded gas in...
So I...
You're saying you have to be a certain age to commit crime?
No, okay. So there is basically... The assumption is that we're seeing a spike in crimes like when that person is like in their teen years. Because when you're like 10, I guess you could commit violent crimes when you're 10. But like they're saying that like when you're a youth, like in your teens and 20s, that's when you're going to be murdering people. Do you understand? So that's why there's always like a 15 to 20 year lag. Like, oh, you had lead poisoning when you were this age. Then you probably commit a violent crime when you're like a decade or two later. Do you follow?
Okay, so following his logic then, when did they ban it? 88, you said?
Yeah.
So it's
so
the,
violent
it's the,
crime in Britain peaked in 2007.
And then it quickly went away. And I don't like how he's relating that back to the gasoline. Because it's kind of like, then that would be they use unleaded, and then they switch to leaded, and then they switch back to unleaded.
Just don't confuse me. Just let me speak and don't put a hole in it because I'm going to get confused. Okay, crime in Japan. Leaded gasoline in Japan was banned completely in 1980. By 2000, the country had an entire cohort of teenagers who had grown up lead-free. The lead exposure in Japanese children is now amongst the lowest in the world, and as a result, their crime rate is extremely low. So does that trip you up as well?
Then the murder rate should have been out of control in like the 80s and 90s.
Leaded gasoline was banned completely in 1980. Wait. Okay, please take out this long pause while I think this through.
Because if you were born in 78 and then you were 10 in 88, then in 98 you should have been murdering everybody because you were still exposed to leaded gasoline.
Wait, but they're not saying there was no crime in 1998?
Yeah, but they seemed to be conveniently not mentioning the crime rate before.
Well, no, that one just doesn't mention the crime rate before. So yeah, the crime could have peaked and then it started lowering by 2000.
Mm-hmm. Sin of omission.
Yeah, these are just little snippets, okay? Last but not least, red barns and rural crime. In the 19th century, most American farmers painted their barns red. However, around 1880, better quality
listeners,
white lead...
I'm out on this one, okay?
Why?
You continue, but I'm out.
However, around 1880, better quality white lead paint became cheaply available thanks to railroad expansion and ready-mix paint available from Sears, Roebuck, and others. About 20 years later, rural homicides increased dramatically, nearly catching up to the murder rates in cities, which had been using lead paint for decades. You know, Pete... This like, all comes from Mother Jones, which isn't Wikipedia, so I feel fine saying it. Pete doesn't buy this hypothesis. Again, I'm not saying you can't poke holes in it. I'm just saying, think about it.
Also, I wonder, was there as much crime? It just wasn't as reported because it was in rural areas. Maybe they didn't, you know, collect data as efficiently.
If you're in a rural area and someone dies, you're definitely going to report that in your dumb little newspaper. Wow, why did I call newspapers in rural areas dumb little newspapers? I'm sorry. That was like, judgy.
If you were my wife, I could kill you and then say, like, oh, she fell over, or like she fell down the stairs, or she was out on the roof and she fell off the roof. Like, I could come up with a story and, like, the violent crime wouldn't necessarily be reported.
I mean, sure. Pete doesn't buy this one. I feel like he bought it more in 2020. That's what I'm saying. This is an old Marissa research. I feel like old Marissa.
Definitely conceding that it's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's the only thing that would make somebody into a violent criminal. Otherwise, oh, yeah. I mean, my mother would be a violent criminal.
I don't think he argues that it's purely the lead. I just think he's saying it's a major contributing factor. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's what I got, guys. If you think this is a load of bullshit, call us at 570-POD-WAD-1 and also reach out to, what's his name? Kevin Drum.
Okay. I was like, am I supposed to know?
No. Yeah, so any questions? Don't have questions. I have no other information than what I told you.
Yeah, so I guess this is still hanging on as a theory?
Yeah, again, there have been, I've only seen like two studies that tried to disprove it. It's not like I see like a whole bunch of people disproving it and saying like this is absolutely wrong. There have been some on the other end, but I've only seen like two since he really came forward with all this stuff. So I don't know.
You know how, I'm sure there's a proper name for it, but like, you know how you kind of go into things with a little bit of bias?
Yeah.
I feel like it was Japan, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that one was definitely going in with bias and saying like, oh, look, the crime went down. Oh, look, this is when they outlawed lead paint. Like,
yeah.
They must be connected.
Yeah, he might have worked backwards on that one. I'm not sure. Anyway.
The rural one, though, I'm just kind of like.
The which one?
The rural one. The red barn.
The barn one? Yeah. Again.
Because they were painting with lead paint. They weren't eating it. Like, with lead paint.
Yeah, but you could still be like, there's fumes and shit.
Not really.
I'm sorry. Pete, yeah. The lead paint fume expert.
Yep. As somebody who huffed spray paint by accident.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to say that if I were outdoors, that would not have been an issue. And I don't know about you, Marissa, but I think most barns are kept outdoors.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Leave me alone. I just was like, aw, I should use this information. Maybe in retrospect, should I have not presented this? I don't know.
Hey, you know what? We have to learn about the world around us. And like I said, it is interesting because, you know, like, I'm sure there are a lot of things in cities that were also painted with lead paint.
Yeah.
You know, more so than other places, perhaps. I don't know. Paint chips and I, you know, like Ted Bundy did spend a lot of time on a playground that had chipping lead paint on the slide.
You know that specifically?
Uh-huh. Yeah, everybody does.
Okay. I mean, Ted Bundy might have had a head trauma. I forget. There's a lot of the heavy hitters.
No, he was constantly licking the monkey bars.
There's a lot of the heavy hitters that I know had blunt force trauma, but I don't remember offhand which or which, but I said offhand multiple. I want to give up today. Yeah?
There's a podcast that I listen to where they talk about like a paranormal thing, and then at the end they pick whether they believe in it or not.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wish we did that.
I will say, do I believe this? I don't know. I'm obsessed with learning about lead. I don't know why. QAnon Anonymous, officially my favorite podcast, the derailed last podcast. I don't like admitting that, but it has. Sadly, it's Patreon exclusive content, but they did a 3-part series on how the world is fucked by lead paint. They didn't talk about crime, but they did talk about how it was fucking up people just in general. So if anyone happens to listen to QAnon Anonymous, their lead paint specialist. Fantastic.
I bet you could make the same conclusion by saying that cancer rates have gone up. Oh, no, it would be the other way around. Maybe lead protected us from cancer. Because...
I mean...
You said something about plugs, Marissa?
Yeah, let's just do...
Plugs.
I'm going to plug... Pete, why don't you plug first? Do you have any plugs?
Slightly embarrassed to say that I've been watching Arrow.
Yeah, you should be embarrassed. You and my brother should be embarrassed.
On Netflix. And I'll tell you this. I'm not plugging it, but I'm telling you that I'm watching it.
Thank you. We like your honesty.
One of the interesting parts is that in the Arrowverse, there's The Flash and there's like all these other shows, and they sometimes would have crossovers. And when you're just watching a series on Netflix, like yeah. So much shit can happen in between episodes and you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's Hawk Girl doing here? When did she show up? But, I would like to plug Deadlock, which, LOCH. On Amazon. It's an Australian show, and it's kind of like a small town community with a murder in it, you know, something that you've seen before, except there's a lot of goofiness in it as well, and that makes it fun. I'm like laughing while I'm watching it, and that is fun. Laugh. Okay. Now.
Laughing is fun. I'm going to plug... what am I gonna plug? Shit. Sorry. Man, I feel like we have more awkward silences than ever before. I feel like my brain broke today, Pete. Fuck.
Marissa wants to plug. You can plug A Courtship of Veneer.
No, I can't again. I'm just going to plug the video game Luigi's Mansion, which is a cinematic masterpiece. And that's the newest game I'm playing. Guys, if you have any video game recommendations for either the Switch or PS5, please let me know. Don't give me first-person shooters. I just play video fighting games and platformers. I don't want anything else. It could be like a side-scrolling game or like one of those like open world games, but that is all I want to play. Dude, you couldn't pay me to play a first-person shooter. So yeah, I'll plug Luigi's Mansion 3. If it's an old game, but if you haven't played it, it's fantastic. Guys, I feel like I wasn't bringing my best today, and I'm sorry. So forgive me and send us an email with future podcast ideas. Alex, I'm going to do your idea next. Pete, where can they email us?
And also text us, icebreaker ideas, because Marissa had one ready today. I had one too, just in case, but God knows we need them. You can email us at y'allheardpod@gmail.com.
And as always, you can slide into my DMs at Chris Vandal.
And as always, you can go to patreon.com/y'allheard. You can sign up for as low as $1 a month and get all sorts of silly shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to be posting another Pete Ruins a Movie for the month of March. Unfortunately, it is not going to be Leprechaun related because I'm not watching any of the Leprechaun movies again.
Okay.
And all the other Leprechaun related movies look like shit. So.
Okay. And I will drop a Gossip Girl soon. Yeah, Pete keeps it coming better than I do. Kudos to him. He's what greases the wheels of the show. That's not the right.
Well, yeah. Nope. You call me lube because I grease these wheels.
I don't know what I'm trying to say. Guys, stay safe out there. Sorry. Bye.